Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my blade. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday suckage on the score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I'm Steve Rosenbloom. This is Saturday Suckage. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anyway. You guys are suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the suck team.
Toby!
Oh, my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
At the front of the review, we suck!
Terry Bars!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendrick!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
The legend, Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have it happen game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Mike Damn Tomlin.
It all sucks. It's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbank.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Grifol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Mark Burley.
So it did suck.
Clayton Kershaw.
Suck it, big dumper. Suck it, big dumper.
Patrick Manley.
Just to say it bluntly, the Bears suck. Yeah. It's terrible. The way they look the last five quarters, that's bad football.
A new starting pitcher for our starting lineup here in the second roll call. Cade Horton.
It sucks.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Trash Panda.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Newly married, Trash Panda.
That's me.
Congratulations.
Got the ring and everything. Thank you.
Got the ring and everything. Congratulations. Beautiful picture and beautiful pictures from what I saw and of the wedding and the honeymoon. And y'all did fine. You clean up real nice like.
Thank you. Yeah, I try. I try when I have to.
This is Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Our phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That also gets you to our text line, 312-644-6767. Guest today, Alex Cohen, voice of the Cubs. He's on Marquee, Cubs Daily Podcast. That'll be 11:25. Cubs Brewers, Game 5, maybe you heard. Noon, Russ Dorsey, Yahoo Sports, and a Score regular will be here. We will talk to him and his Buff Delts. I think that would be a good band name. I'll run that by Russ. Russ and the Buff Delts.
Think I like that'll that. Work? Yeah. I think that would work. What kind of music do they play? Funk? That feels like a funk band.
I'll let Russ choose it, but I think that he should have that band. He should front that band. 12:25, Herb Howard, the Bigs. Talking Bears. Yeah, the Bears are going to play Monday. Question is, will the Cubs play Tuesday? I'm sure when the week started, all of you, Cub fans, you heard doom and gloom, or as Cub fans call it, baseball season. Like in postseason history, teams taking a 2-0 lead in a best-of-five series, such as the Brewers did last Monday, have gone on to win that series 80 of 90 times. 88.9% success rate, conversion rate, however you want to look at it, it was not good for the Cubs. Or maybe you came across this. In division series with the current 2-2-1 format, teams to win both games 1 and 2 at home, the way the Brewers did, at the expense of the small market Cubs, they have advanced to the next round 31 of 34 times. 91.2% success, including 20 sweeps. Or maybe you heard this, Cub fans. When dropping game one, the Cubs have subsequently lost 3 consecutive postseason series. They haven't bounced back from a game one defeat to ultimately win a series since, yeah, of course, the 2016 World Series. And yet, here we are, game 5. Cubs, Brewers, win or die, 7:08 tonight on the Score. And here we are. This is the part where the Brewers always fail. Stevie Sunshine is here to tell Cub fans that the Brewers are Brewersing right in time for the Cubs. Now, the Brewers have made the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years. That was the type of success, sustained success, that's the phrase Theo and Jed used, that the Cubs said they wanted. But here's the thing. In the previous 6 postseasons, working backwards now, the Brewers lost in the wild card, in the wild card, in the division series, in the wild card, in the wild card, in the NLCS. They usually lose the first series they play after a good or great season. That's their history. In the last 3 years, the Brewers won more than 90 games, won the division, and lost as soon as they got into a playoff series, like this year. 3 games, bang, go home with your 90-plus wins and your cute little scrappy team that you just want to give tummy scritches to. The Brewers have posted that embarrassing playoff history with the Cubs manager and with the guy who replaced the Cubs manager. So it doesn't matter who, the Brewers find a way to go Brewersing on you, just the way Cubs managed to always get cubbed whenever they were in the playoffs. It didn't matter who was there, players, managers, it all changed, and they all got cubbed till 2016. Brewers last won a playoff series in 2018. For all of the sustained success, the pantsing of the Cubs season after season, showing they're smarter, better, over 162 games, For all of that, the Brewers' last playoff win came just 2 years after the Cubs won the World Series, which seems like forever ago, right? It is now stepping up to 85 Bear status, that Cubs World Series. It's going to turn 10 next year. It's going to hit double digits. And here we are again, watching them do it again, watching the Brewers go all Brewersing. If you love pucks, the Brewers are the Toronto Maple Leafs. If you love the NFL, they're the Buffalo Bills. Great regular seasons, and then... But wait, Stevie Sunshine has more for Cub fans. This comes from ESPN Stats. The team that forced Game 5, narrator, that would be the Cubs, has gone 10-7 in the decisive game. So the Cubs are going on the road, and they're should be a favorite, because those teams that force Game 5 win 10 out of 17 times, have won 10 out of 17 times. From Sarah Lang, Slangs on Sports on MLB.com. Of the 35 previous teams to lose games 1 and 2 on the road in a division series with the current format, only 5 forced a winner-take-all Game 5. Well, here we are. Of those 5, 3 of those teams won. The Cubs are a favorite with that stat because they made it to Game 5 after losing the first 2 on the road in the division series. You're liking this, aren't you, Cub fans? Aren't you liking this? This is good stuff. This Stevie Sunshine has still more for you, Cub fans. Should all this come to pass, the comeback completed, gutty small market Cubs moving on to face the Doyers, there's this. And this is stunning. 9 of the last 10 teams to eliminate the Brewers in the postseason have gone on to play in the World Series. I'll say that again. Cub fans awaiting Game 5, awaiting the opportunity to eliminate the Brewers. 9 of the last 10 teams to eliminate the Brewers in the postseason have gone on to play in the World Series. Now, this goes back to the 80s when Harvey's Wallbangers were all the rage. In 81, the Yankees, that's back when the Brewers were in the American League. In 82, they got to the World Series, the Cardinals beat them. In 2008, they lost to the Phillies. In 2011, they lost to the Cardinals. 2018, the Doyers. 2019, the Nationals. 2020, the Doyers. 2021, the Braves. 2023, those miracle Diamondbacks. Last year, the Mets beat them. The Mets only got to the NLCS and lost the Doyers. That's a pretty solid probability bet. Beat the Brewers, advance to the bonus round. What's more, 6 of the 9 teams to eliminate the Brewers went on to win the World Series. This is a remarkable thing. A remarkable spot the Cubs have put themselves in. The Brewers are Brewersing. And this talk has been going on in Milwaukee all year while they were compiling the best record. There was talk then, okay, we've seen this before. They don't do anything in the playoffs. They're built to win the regular season. They don't hit home runs, and they're just, and they flop as soon as they get into a playoff series after a good or great season. So now it's up to the Cubs to collect their lovely parting gifts and head to the land of In-N-Out Burger. And not to piddle down their legs the way the Brewers did in Chicago. And it's right there for the Cubs. You are welcome, Cub fans. Stevie Sunshine is here for you. It's what I do. By the way, speaking of Game 5, and we were, and we will, that will be a dominant theme this show. Game 5 between the Cubs and Brewers is tonight. From Milwaukee, Chuck Swirsky We'll have special coverage starting at 4 p.m., previewing Game 5 and taking your calls. Our official pregame coverage begins at 6:30 with first pitch at 7:08. Every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Then after the postgame show, Rami Makhlouf will have additional coverage reacting to tonight's Game 5. And you already know, everything is favoring the Cubs. Because Stevie Sunshine made you feel better at a time where you're debating who's going to start and you're afraid it's Imanaga. And you have PTSD. You have post-traumatic Shota disorder. And you're worried he's going to come in again and give home runs. But if I might quote, paraphrase, the great movie Office Space, Imanaga start him again. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Alex Cohen, Cubs Daily Podcast, will be here. We'll see what he thinks, what he feels coming off the coming in the wake of Ian Happ waking up, hitting a massive home run, and the longest standing Cubs player certainly needed that, and every fan, every Happ fan, every Cub fan needed to see that. Get to him early, get to him often. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The
Score. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Drew was the guy kind of that I really thought was going to be important to this bullpen in the postseason. I think he finished the season throwing the ball really, really well. And he's got the ability to turn it up a notch, and I think we've seen that in the postseason. And lefty, righty, it, to me it doesn't matter right now, and you're seeing that in the swings that guys are taking. So the way we're running games, you know, we need everybody. And Drew has certainly become a, you know, integral cog in that kind of bullpen decisions, and he's handling his innings. And I think what you said is right, is like he's handled his innings perfectly. And that means something as well.
That's Craig Counsell, your Cubs manager, talking about Drew Pomeranz. Now, why would we play a comment on Drew Pomeranz coming out of break? Because here's why. We have breaking news. Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Drew Pomeranz will be your starting pitcher tonight against the Brewers in Game 5, win or die. Zach Zaman tweeted it out. Said the Cubs announced Drew Pomeranz will be your starting pitcher. Drew Pomeranz has been pretty damn effective against Milwaukee, as you heard Craig Counsell comment. He entered he's not allowed a base runner, 5 appearances against the Brewers. Game 3, he entered the game in the 5th, retired Churio and Terang to end the inning, and those guys are very annoying when they face the Cubs. So he's a guy going to get through the top of the lineup, Craig Counsell hopes, because the first inning has determined an awful lot. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Drew Pomeranz is your starter for tonight's Game 5. Let's go to the hotline. Joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline is Alex Cohen of Marquee. Download the Circa app today. Alex, there you go. Thanks for joining me. Starting pitcher for the Cubs tonight, Drew Pomeranz. What do you think about the choice?
No, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. I'm not particularly shocked. I mean, especially with the top third, top four hitters in the order, you could face two, possibly three lefties wherever they hit Frelick. I'm not surprised. Yeah, just get him first three outs and then go to, you know, the bulk with is probably some variation of Colin Ray and Aaron Civale and then, you know, go to the bullpen. So right now you're playing chess, not checkers. It's game five. And, yeah, I'm not shocked that he's starting. You know, going for an inning in game five to start things off.
Alex Cohen is my guest. He is the Daily Cubs podcast, one of the co-hosts, and he works for Marquee. You've heard him do play-by-play. And I wanted to ask you if you expect the debate was, oh my God, Shota. And a lot of people have PTSD, post-traumatic Shota disorder, because of what they saw before and all the home runs. Would you expect Shota at any point tonight? We know Pomeranz is there as a starter. Would you expect him at any point, or is that just no? He and Matthew Boyd can have a seat next to each other.
No, I mean, I think it really depends on the game. I mean, if it's a blowout, if the game goes 15 innings, it's all hands on deck. And I think that if you get him in a situation where you can, again, have him face off against a couple lefties and in a certain spot, I wouldn't be shocked to see him. Yeah, I think Lance Brostowski and I were talking about like the over-under of Shota outs would be at 2.5, and I think that that's a really good line for him. I think we'll see him. I think we'll see him for an inning, and hopefully it's a 1-2-3 inning.
Alex Cohen is my guest, the Daily Cubs Daily podcast, you hear him on Marquee. We're talking Cubs, Game 5 tonight. There are a remarkable number of statistics and probabilities that I ran down that favor the Cubs tonight. Teams coming back from losing road games 1-2 and forcing a game five. The team that forces game five is 10-7 in game five. There's a remarkable number of things that favor the Cubs. How do you see what are the critical points tonight that you think either favor the Cubs or hurt the Cubs, Alex?
I think one that might hurt the Cubs is just fresh arms at the bullpen for the Brewers. Yeah, they haven't used Abner Uribe as much. They haven't used Trevor McGill as much. Obviously, Jacob Mizorowski is pretty fresh. And the Cubs' bullpen arms have been more frequently used. I think that the Cubs now, you know, what, bottom half of the order has been much better than the Brewers this entire series. I mean, they've been, you know, their 7-8-9 have been among the best hitters in baseball, that part of the order for the entire season. So they get much more production out of the bottom third of their order. They've been doing that this postseason. Hopefully they'll do that tonight. I just think the bats have been swinging better for the Cubs in general, which is shocking because they've only scored runs in like certain innings, like in the first inning. And the only time they broke that was in game four. So I just feel more comfortable and confident about the Cubs offense. I feel more comfortable and confident about the Brewers bullpen. So it'll be an interesting matchup.
I found it interesting that Pat Murphy we'll play tape of it later. He was, essentially, it sounded like he was saying goodbye to his seniors. It sounded like it was the end of a, I like these guys, I have a lot of respect for these guys. The whole sound of it was he was kissing them off. We got a young team, I think everybody knows that, and he was, whether he was making excuses or not, and then he would, I don't know about begging, but he was, seemed to be giving his greatest sales pitch to get Brewers fans to act like Cub fans. And Brewers fans usually sell their tickets to Cub fans. Thursday night was a remarkable thing where Pat Murphy admitted basically the Brewers players piddled down their legs. Thursday night, describe what that was like and then how any of it might carry over into Saturday, Alex.
Yeah, so Thursday night when Ian Happ hit the home run, that is the loudest I have ever heard Wrigley Field in person. And with a caveat, I wasn't at any games during the 2016 run, so I want to make sure that's clear. But at any point this season, it was by far the loudest that I've heard Wrigley Field, and then the Freddie chant, and then the ninth inning. I mean, it was the energy and the experience, and really the momentum was palpable. And you couldn't deny it. I would imagine that, you know, going up to Milwaukee game five tonight, it won't be a 50-50 split,
But it certainly won't be an 80-20 split of Brewers fans to Cubs fans like it was for Game 1 and Game 2. I'm expecting more Cubs fans. I'm expecting them to be loud. I'm expecting a really fun atmosphere at American Family Field tonight.
The Brewers do this regularly. They have wonderful seasons, and then they lose in the first round. First chance they get to blow a playoff series, they do it. And they're doing it now. I mean, I recounted the list of Brewers' failures. They have not won a series since 2018, despite making the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years. And the teams that beat them go on to play in the World Series. This is all good stuff for the Cubs.
Yeah,
you got to be excited by what you've seen. I realize momentum is the next day's starting pitcher, and that's Drew Pomeranz. But you got to be excited if you're a Cubs fan, right?
I mean, I'm absolutely excited. I mean, especially after the first two games where, you know, the Brewers not only won, they thoroughly dominated the Cubs. And then you go to Wrigley Field, and you have Game 3, and you score the early runs. You don't score the rest of the way, and an early lead turns into a one-run lead, and you hold on to win it. And then the bats finally come alive in Game 4. Kyle Tucker, you know, with one of his best swings over the last couple months, hits one out the center as he's starting to get hot. You know, Michael Busch being probably the hottest hitter in the postseason. So the arrow is trending and pointing up for the Cubs. They have to win tonight, obviously, to extend their season. But, man, I mean, it's been, you know, a really fun run for both teams, and 92 wins for the Cubs in the regular season, and they're one win away from going to the CS. So I'm really excited for tonight.
So we played four games, and if they were to give out an MVP award for the whole series, it would be after Game 5. Whoever the hero of Game 5 is, that's the most valuable player. But through four games, who has been the best Cub and why?
It's Michael Busch. Just the threat that he provides at the top of the order, you know, the leadoff home runs, obviously, but just the presence the punch that he's put at the top of the order for the Cubs, four postseason home runs. If he delivers in Game 5, I mean, I would say that Michael Busch is definitely the DS MVP for the Cubs.
And the Cubs manager should have a lot of faith in him to do what he can do, to do that, to make an impression, to change a game, to open a game, whether it's lefty or righty. At some point, you got to take the training wheels off.
Yeah, I mean, I said this after Game 4. I mean, I don't care if it's a lefty, if it's a righty, if it's Pat Vendetti who throws lefty and righty. I mean, Michael Busch, I don't care. I mean, he has 38 home runs this year. I mean, the guy has been the best hitter in this lineup. You know, you compare that to the seasons that Seiya Suzuki said, great. Pete Armstrong's had, you know, had a great first half. Michael Busch has been their best hitter this season. So you have to make sure that he's in the lineup getting the maximum out of at-bats, and you know, hopefully he can contribute again and be the DS MVP, and the Cubs are going on to L.A. on Monday.
And wouldn't that be great, Michael Busch against the team that traded him to the Cubs, because Michael Busch was blocked by everybody? That's a nice little sidebar working on that, huh?
Yeah, there's a sidebar there. There's also like a number of 6 degrees of separation of players who have either played with each other or are from L.A. Obviously, Pete Crow Armstrong's from that area, too. And, yeah, it's Cubs, Dodgers, NLCS. I mean, it just feels and sounds right, and hopefully it can happen.
Doyers. It's the Doyers. You're in Los Angeles. You say Doyers. And Justin Turner. Justin Turner, who got some at-bats, and he would be going back to L.A. where he was a postseason hero.
And yeah, won a World Series, and Justin Turner, what could be the final act of his career to be able to, you know, be part of the roster that, yeah, again, like Cubs, Dodgers, NLCS, like two major market teams, two enormous fan bases, two of the blue bloods of baseball, and the Cubs still have some business to take care of, but if they can win Game 5, it'll be a CS for the ages.
My guest is Alex Cohen. He is with Marquee Network and hosts the Daily Cubs Daily podcast. And we're talking Cubs Brewers Game 5 coming up. The Brewers have not, to our knowledge, have not announced their starter. Who do you expect, and how do the Cubs get to that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect, you know, some combination of, you know, Jose Quintana, you know, taking care of the bulk of the innings. You'll probably see Jacob Mizorowski at some point. I don't know how many innings. It's dependent on his control. And then the back end of the bullpen with Ashby and Uribe and Trevor McGill, who are relatively fresh. Not Ashby, but the latter two. So I would imagine, like, those five, to me, are probably eating up the majority of the innings. To Quintana, I mean, you've seen in starts that they've had against him, You remember Quintana in May. He got lit up by the Cubs. So it's just make sure that, you know, if he elevates a fastball 90 to 92, make sure you hit it out of the ballpark.
I don't know enough about the personality of Jacob Mizorowski, but I do think if I were the manager, he would be my starter. I know you like the whole – you mentioned the veteran calm that Quintana would bring, but I'm a fan of screaming heat, and especially if you want a nearly untouchable guy in the inning where the Cubs have done almost all of their damage. I think I would, and I know maybe he gets a little, maybe he gets so amped and misses the strike zone, and suddenly you're he's putting runners on. But I would think he would be the best chance against the Cubs hitters in the first inning.
Well, he would change the Cubs hitters' approach because the Cubs have been so aggressive in the first inning, naturally against Mizorowski, who you know probably misses the strike zone more than the average pitcher. The Cubs will be more patient. So it would change their approach if Mizorowski were to start, but I'd be concerned about him throwing strikes. I mean, he was so amped up at American Family Field the last time he pitched. I can't even imagine what he'd be like during a Game 5. So it's tough because he obviously has the best stuff on the staff. I mean, he throws 104.5. But I'd be concerned about him throwing strikes.
I love the fact that that the numbers, the speed with which he throws are like FM radio stations. Hey, Jacob Mizorowski, 104.5, classic rock. Anyways, the Cub fans, what they did was unnerve the Brewers ace with a chance of, on Thursday, Freddie. I love that. Do you think Cub fans there'll be enough to be chanting tonight in a Brewers ballpark about whoever the pitcher is, or the batter, whoever it is, will they be able to mount a taunting chant?
Oh, I think they will. I think it'll help that the roof is closed, so it'll be the sound will be a little bit more permeating. But I also think that the Brewers fans will probably drown that out, or they'll attempt to drown that out with cheers or boos or something else. But I'm sure that you will hear it with Miz or somebody else, but it won't nearly be as loud as it was on Thursday night.
And from what you've seen of Kyle Tucker, there were steps up to where that home run was inevitable. Does it feel and look like that's the guy who was here to start the season? That's the guy who's going to go ask for $500 million?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the Kyle Tucker of May, but it's definitely not the Kyle Tucker of mid-September of the second half. I mean, for him to take that pitch, hit it out the left center in that environment, that was kind of like the swing in the last game that he had against the Braves before he got hurt. He hit a home run to left center field. So once he starts doing that, hitting the ball in the air with that distance to the opposite field, that's coming off a game prior to that where he had two hits, I would be encouraged from an offensive perspective. You know, the whole thing with Tucker is because he was a Gold Glove caliber player in right field before coming here, you're probably not going to get that defensive aspect still if you go into the NLCS. But if you can see him swinging the bat like that, hitting the ball to all fields, doing it against lefties, doing it against righties, you're starting to get back to Kyle Tucker being Kyle Tucker.
And is PCA to the point where you don't need the home runs and all this – the spectacularness you saw as he broke out and blossomed as a hitter, you need him almost like creating craziness on the bases, because if the Brewers are going to become unnerved by Cub fans, then having a guy running around the bases might do as much damage and be more profound, I guess. I don't know where he is in that arc to where we saw him be such a threat everywhere defensively, at the plate, or on the bases. How close do you think he is?
I actually think he's pretty close. I think he's had two really big hits during this postseason. The first hit in Game 3 against the Padres was huge, and then obviously the single the other night. He's had two major hits during the postseason amidst all of his struggles. He still does it defensively every game, regardless of the offensive struggles. And you've seen the small ball aspect, him trying to bunt with two strikes, him trying to sacrifice bunt, create that chaos. And you saw it Game 4, Phillies, Dodgers. If you put the ball in play in front of the pitcher, you never know where it's going to go. Ryan Kirkland threw back to the backstop, and the Dodgers won the DS. So I think PCA, you've seen a shift in his offensive profile this postseason, putting the ball in play, limiting the strikeouts. and just refining his offensive approach. So, yeah, I think you'll see PCA squaring around a couple times tonight, trying to create, you know, chaos defensively for the Brewers.
Excellent. Excellent. Alex, great rundown. I appreciate you joining me this Saturday. Have a great time tonight. Should be terrific theater.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Alex Cohen of Marquee, Cubs Daily Podcast. Terrific job. You heard the good stuff there. And you heard the news, the breaking news we opened the segment with. Drew Pomeranz is your starting pitcher for the Cubs tonight.
I have two other news notes that are Bears related, if you like them.
Oh, my
that
goodness.
That have crossed during the last 10
Trash
minutes.
Trash Panda is producing.
So, number one, the Commanders head coach Dan Quinn announced about 20 minutes ago that Terry McLaurin will not be playing Monday night, which is big if you're a Bears fan.
Kind of expected.
Yes, he hasn't practiced. Right. And Noah Brown also will not be playing. He's the guy that caught the Hail Mary pass last year. So he's
great.
He's,
no Hail Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they're going to do a Hail Mary, it's going to have to be someone else that catches it. Also, Ben Johnson just a few minutes ago announced that Theo Benedict will start at left tackle against Washington.
So Ben Johnson had that. Were we rolling on that? On the Ben Johnson press conference?
It's not streaming live, but we'll get it once our people up there get it to us.
All right, we'll see what we can bring you. Theo Benedict, that's not much as a surprise either, right? But Theo Benedict is there, which, oh my God. Doesn't all this make you wonder how Ryan Poles still has a job?
Well, he is also the one that found Theo Benedict. So I think this there's something that's bothered me a little bit. No one's giving any credit to Theo Benedict finding his way into a starting spot. Now, you can say all you want, oh, Braxton Jones wasn't as good, but Theo Benedict has shown a lot of progress and has kind of earned a little bit of a nod here.
He's only shown progress because Ryan Poles doesn't know offensive linemen.
What?
Look, it doesn't matter what Theo Benedict could do if there was a quality offensive line.
You're not giving any room for Theo Benedict being a find?
I am. He found an opportunity. Hey, what is a team with crappy tackles? Oh, the Bears. I think I'll go there.
I think he's actually looks pretty solid in the time he's been out there. So give him a little credit here. Give him a little credit and give them a little credit for finding him. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. There you go. Trash
the Terry McLaurin news is the real news there.
Well, that just means Debo's going to do more. He's going to destroy the Bears if they need a passing game. Nobody says that the Commanders need Terry McLaurin. They have Debo, and they're going to run the ball, and their quarterback runs. And the Bears haven't faced a running quarterback yet, and they suck against the
quarterback's
run.
Quarterback's got a bad knee.
Uh-huh. And he still ran for what, 60, 80 yards against the Chargers? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the Cubs starting pitcher is somebody out of the bullpen. Could have been somebody else. Talk about that after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the 1-2. Breaking ball, strike three, called. Back-to-back called third strikes in the inning. Pomeranz fans Perkins.
In case you have not heard breaking news, breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Drew Pomeranz is your Cubs starter tonight in Game 5, win or die, against the Brewers in Milwaukee. Left-handed And we had so much debate. The last 48 hours have been so heated. Like, Imanaga, no, not him. Okay, what about Kittredge? He did that. He was really good. Well, sort of good. He didn't give up 17 runs. He wasn't Shota. And, okay, then who? Colin Ray. We like Colin Ray. How come Craig Council hasn't liked Colin Ray? Well, would we have this discussion if Sandy Alcantara was here? Just show of hands. Will we have this discussion? Yes. Yes.
I wouldn't say no.
No, I'm going to say yeah.
But did anyone, I never heard anyone in the last 36 hours mention Drew Pomeranz as a possibility.
It probably was somewhere because everybody's name come up. When you're talking about, as Jim DeShays calls it, Johnny Holstaff, that they're all under consideration. So now you're going to pick your spots. Who does this against that guy? It really comes. Then you become Craig Decimal Points, and that's what you're doing. You're going down the list like that. But it's really not an issue. We would have had something else to discuss if Sandy Alcantara was here. Okay, we know who our Game 5 starter is, a former Cy Young winner. I mean, I don't know what the price was, but Owen Casey is not helping you win this week, is he?
Oh, he's not here, so no.
Matt Shaw, just barely. Those are some of the names mentioned, or all four of your top four prospects in some kind of deal for Alcantara, who was never dealt. You avoid this whole debate if Jed had been bold enough, or Tom Ricketts had let him be bold enough and make that move, the power arm. I mean, that's your ace or a second ace, depending how you were looking at Shota early, how you were looking at Cade Horton late. Pitchers get hurt. It's another reason you go out and make that move. If you want to win the World Series this year, I'm not convinced the Cubs do. They'd like to. That would be a very nice, lovely party. Oh, hey, yeah, wait, yeah. Oh, World Series, yeah. Why not? Yeah. What are they serving? Nobody made that move, and you'll have a bunch of GMs who are scared guys. A.J. Preller made a big move for Mason Miller. Big, big move. Jed's team beat A.J. Preller's team in the first round. Preller was trying to win a World Series. Jed, his front office, Carter Hawkins, they're trying to get to 2032. Isn't that the golden year? They can't spend everything now because 2032, everybody. Cubs can afford to play in a bigger sandbox, a bolder sandbox. I don't know if Jed didn't have the nerve to do it. The owner wouldn't let him do it because the owner says, we need sustained success. I need to sell tickets every year. All we're doing as an owner or a GM is you're selling hope. That's it. And there's, oh my God, we gave up Owen Casey. We're not going to sign Kyle Tucker. Where's the hope? Tom Ricketts needs to sell hope. That's how he sells tickets. That's how they sell all sorts of merchandise. You wouldn't have to worry about the bad decision to start Shota. Or even dream up some Hollywood-like thing. Like, didn't you have Cape Horton, right? Wasn't he going to wear a cape and he was coming to save the day and somebody, oh, Shota Imanaga would suddenly come up injured. See, that's what I expect in this.
Or Soroka.
No, Shota. They don't want to have anything to do with Shota. So Shota's going to have an injury between now and first pitch. And here comes Cape Horton, and he's going to pitch the second inning, right? It's a Hollywood thing. Maybe they're saving that for L.A. when they're out in Hollywood.
Like Kyle Schwarber coming in there in 2016 for the World Series?
Yeah, look at that. Look at you. So if they had backbone, they had the money, if they had the will to win the World Series, when they had competing for the best record in baseball for most of the season, your starter tonight would be Sandy Alcantara in a win or die game. Go back to the question that Theo asked. when he acquired Aroldis Chapman for Gleyber Torres in 2016? If not now, when? And we know the current Cubs, the answer is, when is 2032? That's what we're shooting for. See us then, baby. It'll be bitching. Good vibes, babe. So how's that sitting with you, Cub fans?
Well, and Jed said earlier this year, he admitted at one point this summer that, I think right before the trade deadline, that in 2016 they felt the pressure of, we need to end this, the drought.
So they don't need to end the drought of not having won the World Series since then.
Yeah, and now there isn't that pressure with them. So you can take that a lot of ways, but that said to me, they're not as willing to push all in as they were in 2016.
They're not. Clearly, look at their moves. Jed doesn't have the nerve or doesn't have the okay. One of those two things. If he doesn't have the okay, that's the owner. But there's not the assertiveness, the willingness, the gamblingness to win a World Series. So, Drew Pomeranz is starting for you tonight, Cub fans. He's been good against the Brewers. That's all you need. Get his one inning and move along 24 more outs. Take a break. We will talk to Russell Dorsey and his Buff Delts. And I'm going to run this by him. That Russ and the Buff Delts is a really good band name. Yahoo Sports. He does baseball for Friday Night Baseball for Apple TV Plus, the score regular here. We will talk about Cubs, Brewers, Game 5, win or die. This is Saturday Suckage. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.